Now, efforts are intensifying to secure a ceasefire in Gaza. The US Secretary of State John Kerry has put forward a proposal for a seven-day truce. Israel's Security Cabinet is meeting this lunchtime to consider it. Shashank Joshi, Research Fellow at the Royal United Services Institute in London, has been telling me about what's proposed in that peace plan.
Well, what John Kerry is proposing is, first of all, a week-long temporary ceasefire. It's not a peace, it's not a final settlement, it's just a truce. And it would begin on Sunday. Under its current form, it would see Israeli forces in Gaza staying where they are, and they would be allowed to continue locating Hamas tunnels. But the key point is that over this week-long period, you would begin talks for something more durable, something more longer-lasting. And that'll include talks mediated by Egypt, who, of course, is a key player in all of this because of its geography and its control over the crossing points into Gaza. But you'll also have the Palestinian Authority, who rule over the West Bank, Hamas's rivals, in other words. And you will presumably, although this hasn't been spelled out, also have some of Hamas's diplomatic allies, countries like Turkey and Qatar, without which it's very difficult to see how anyone would reach out to Hamas properly.
Now, what kind of prospect does this document have? If, as you say, it includes a provision that Israeli troops can stay on the ground in Gaza, that's unlikely to be accepted by Hamas, I would have thought.
It seems very difficult to understand how Hamas would accept it, but more importantly, how practically that would be a recipe for stability over the week. This is a very densely packed urban territory with 1.8 million people. It isn't very big. And if you have Israeli troops sitting in houses, it seems inevitable to me that splinter groups, smaller factions who oppose a truce, will be very easily able to reignite fighting on their own. And of course, if the IDF continues to collect intelligence or mount any kind of operations, perhaps even to resupply those troops, because they will need resupply over a week, they can't forage in Gaza, that's going to cause all manner of concerns for Hamas. It's difficult for me to see, first of all, how the IDF could completely withdraw or how it can stay completely in place. And I think that maybe one solution would be for the IDF to go back to the edge of Gaza, where it began this ground operation almost exactly a week ago, but remain able to re-enter Gaza and go back into these neighborhoods like Shajaya if it deemed it necessary at the end of that period.
I mean, the death toll has now passed 800 on the Palestinian side since this began. And there have been talks in some quarters of a new intifada, protests now in the West Bank, calls for a day of rage today. It's hard to see how the temperature can be taken down in this.
Yes, it is. And I think for Israel, it will be of enormous concern that the West Bank is looking like it may be very restive. And you can see how concerned they are by the fact that they have forbidden all males under the age of 50 to attend the prayers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, which, of course, is an absolutely highly symbolic site and the site of clashes in the past. They are really worried about the protests that appear to be massing over the last 24 hours in key places in the West Bank at key checkpoints. There have been marches from Ramallah, the capital of the PA's capital, to Jerusalem. And I think for them, the prospect of a third intifada or uprising to match those that we saw in the late 1980s or the early noughties, that is a frightening concern. In some ways, far more frightening than anything Hamas can do with its useless rockets, because that threatens the legitimacy of the military occupation and it would stretch security forces there to breaking point. They rely on the Palestinians' own security forces to maintain order, the PA's forces. If the PA decided it wasn't going to do Israel's bidding in that place and protests escalated and spiraled, this would be a bigger challenge to Israel and its policies than anything Hamas could achieve in Gaza.
So a lot to consider for the Israeli Security Cabinet, which is meeting this lunchtime. We've said it's unlikely this plan to go down well with Hamas. Do you see the Israeli side accepting it?
I probably do, if I'm putting my neck out and offering a prediction. I think that Netanyahu is looking for de-escalation. The attack on the school yesterday that killed so many children will have, I think, really put pressure on Israel. The closure of Tel Aviv's airport will have put additional pressure on. It is worth bearing in mind, of course, that Netanyahu is facing quite a lot of pressure himself from his own right wing. his hawkish foreign minister and many others within his own security cabinet who want to see an even bigger operation in Gaza. But I do think he actually understands that this isn't going anywhere fast, that he can deplete Hamas, but he can't destroy it. And therefore, he needs a way out. And having continually said that Israel is willing to accept a ceasefire, but Hamas isn't, it would look very bad indeed if he now turned around and refused to accept one.
And that was Shashank Joshi, Research Fellow at the Royal United Services Institute in London, speaking to me shortly before we came on air.